Today I'm going to talk about our work on functionally partitioned file caching in virtualized environment. Later in the talk, I'll explain why we use the term small is big. This is a joint work with my colleagues Han and Hui at IBM Research. First, some brief background. I/O caching is an important issue in the cloud. On one hand, the performance gap between memory and hard disk is very large, and this gap is growing, is increasing over time. On the other hand, in the cloud, a single disk head on a physical server is shared by a large number of virtual machines. I believe the next two talks in this session will tell us how much we suffer from this. Efficient cache management is always a hard problem. And this problem is even more challenging in the cloud. On the vertical dimension, virtualization has introduced a more complex I/O software stack. So basically, both the virtual machine and the physical host does caching independently. And the same data block is possible to be cached at both levels. This not only causes memory wastage, but it also causes compounded prefetching, which is likely to be overly aggressive. On the horizontal dimension, there are typically a large number of virtual machines on the physical host, and it's very likely that they contain the same or similar OS, middleware, or application files. But unfortunately, this content similarity may not be easily exploited. Let's take a closer look at the virtual machine data access path. When a read request comes to a virtual machine, it is first checked by the VM operating system against the guest page cache. If there's a cache miss, then the request is forwarded to the guest virtual disk. Every request to the virtual disk is handled by the I/O virtualization layer and is translated to a regular file read on the host. And that request is again checked against the host page cache. If again, there's a miss in the host page cache, the request is forwarded to the host hard disk. When the data is prepared ready by the host disk, it is directly transferred back to the host memory cache, and finally is back to the guest page cache and the calling application. Along this I/O access path, both the host cache and the guest cache can be configured independently. And this results in four different possible cache configurations. The most intuitive configuration is to leave both the host cache and the guest cache to be on. When memory is enough, this possibly increases the memory hit ratio and improves application performance. But when there's a memory pressure, this configuration wastes memory resource, caching duplicate blocks at both levels. And what's even worse, it causes overly aggressive prefetching because even an application has a purely random access pattern on the VM level, the VM OS will make this pattern to appear sequential on the host level. And receiving this confirmation, the host OS will perform aggressive prefetching. And this is the default policy of the popular virtualization library libvirt. Another intuitive configuration is to turn off the host caching and let the VM guest do all the caching. The intuition behind this configuration is that the VM guest has the most accurate knowledge about the application data access pattern, so it has the best knowledge about what blocks to cache. But the drawback is that any remaining free memory on the host level cannot be leveraged to help the guest to cache data. Worse point is that if you keep data blocks entirely in independent VMs, then it's very hard to perform content-aware sharing of pages of the same content. We performed some experiments, and this is actually the default policy of popular IaaS cloud. There are two other policies not currently in use, but we would like like to discuss them. One of the policies is the other way around the previous policy, where we turn off all guest caching and we let the physical host do all the caching. When the physical host is responsible for all caching, we have the best chance for cache deduplication, because all the pages are in the entire pool, and we can easily identify similar contents. But one problem is that if we do that, then every I/O request on the guest level will cause a content switch going to the host. Another problem is that if we lump together all the pages of different VMs, then the performance isolation will be an issue, because, for example, one VM guest can generate a lot of data, polluting the cache for other VMs. The last configuration is turn off both caches, and this doesn't efficiently utilize the memory at all, and it's a trivially bad choice. As we can see, none of them effectively compresses the cache space usage on both the horizontal dimension and the vertical dimension. Beyond these simple cache configurations, a number of studies have been done on virtual machine optimization, and one of the direction is memory ballooning. In memory ballooning, if a VM is underutilizing the allocated memory, it can put the unused memory pages in balloons, which is shipped to other VMs, which is shipped back to the host, and the host can allocate those memory to other VMs with memory pressure. This balances the memory allocation, but it doesn't save the overall memory usage. Another branch of work is content-aware page sharing. In these technologies, there will be separate processes running on the OS to scan the entire memory, to scan the entire memory space. And typically, each page is hashed, and pages with similar contents are identified with hash values and merged together. The problem with this approach is that it introduces high CPU overhead, and it misses the short-living sharing opportunities, because it needs to scan through possibly gigabytes of memory. And a popular page sharing technology is Linux kernel same page merging, which is also the KSM. But the default policy for KSM is to skip the memory cache, skip the entire page cache. And what we believe the overhead is part of the reason behind this decision. And both memory ballooning and page sharing can be used together with the approach that I'm going to introduce. There are also some studies on exclusive and cooperative caching. In those technologies, duplicate caching are avoided by better eviction decisions, and these decisions are made based on the content of other caches. Exclusive caching is widely used in distributed environments, but in virtualized environments, it's not widely used, because the overhead of knowledge exchange is quite high. If we look at the existing technologies, we can observe that one fundamental difficulty of memory optimization is the need for frequent information collection and exchange. Basically, for every I/O request, there's possibly an update of the cache content, and every cache needs to know what is cached where. So our thought is that maybe we can use the functional partitioning principle. In functional partitioning, we define a global rule which is simple enough for every participating component to understand and follow. One example is that in a multi-core system, OS jitters can be mitigated by allocating all system tasks to dedicated cores, so other cores can perform regular computation. We use the same principle, but in the context of our study, we want to design partitioning rules considering the access characteristics to both the host and the guest cache. The main idea of our partitioning rule is pretty simple. We believe that on the host level, more memory should be used to cache base image data. The reason is twofold. First, it's possible that multiple virtual machines are started from the same VM image. So if we cache the image data on the host, then naturally those virtual machines can share the cached image data. And secondly, even among different VM images, there's a high content similarity. I'm borrowing a figure from our previous study of an empirical analysis of similarity in virtual machine images in middleware. This figure shows how the compression ratio in the image repository changes when more images are added. For example, if we use 4 KB chunk size to divide all images in the repository to chunks, and we combine all chunks with similar content, then we can see if there's 100 images in the repository, then about half of the content can be removed. And when the image, when the repository size grows, for example, if we look at 200, 300, 500 images, then the compression ratio is about 70%, which means that after the merging, only 30% of the content will remain. And even when we use a larger chunk size, like 60 kilobyte, then we can still achieve a compression ratio of 50%. On the other hand, on the VM level, we believe that more memory should be used to cache its private data. Private data meaning the newly generated data after the launching of the virtual machine. So firstly, compared to base image data, the chance that two different virtual machines generate the same page is relatively low. We'd better off keep those private data in the virtual machines on cache for faster access. On another hand, another benefit of keeping the private data within the VM boundary is performance isolation. We can prevent the situation where one VM generates a lot of private data and occupying too much space and taking the space from other VMs. This is the architecture of our design. So when a read request comes, it is first checked by the virtual machine OS to see whether it is base image data or private data. If it is private data, then the request is forwarded to the guest page cache, and it goes along the normal I/O path and goes to the guest virtual disk, and then is handled by the I/O virtualization layer. If it's a base image data, which we mark as an I there, then the request will directly go to the guest virtual disk and bypass the guest cache. And when the I/O virtualization layer receives a request from the VM, then similarly it checks to see whether the data is for base image or private data. If it's base image data, it goes along the normal I/O path, which is the host page cache first and then host disk. If it's private data, then the request is directly forwarded to the host hard disk. Now back to the title. We think that small is big is a good way to summarize our technology, because in our study, in our technology, the responsibility of each cache becomes smaller. The host cache is used primarily for base image data, and guest cache is used mainly for private data. As a result, the overall effective cache size has become bigger. Our change to existing software is very small. In our current proof of concept implementation, we only have 15 lines of new or modified code. On the other hand, the achieve the performance improvement is big. Under high memory pressure, we can achieve more than 50% performance gains. There are additional, there are some other advantages too. So firstly, we do not require memory scanning, so the memory saving is instant. And because the mechanism is simple, it is easier for system admins to understand and test. So it means the deployment will be much easier. Since time is short, I will skip implementation details and go directly to the preliminary results. So we deployed our mechanism in a blade server with 24 cores and 64 gig memory, and we have two workloads in our evaluation. The first one is IBM Daytrader benchmark. This is a traditional online transaction processing workload, where the work set is relatively stable and the cache size directly impacts the performance. And this shows the throughput of Daytrader, so higher is better. So if we compare the two currently used policies, we can see that VM on host on is much better than VM on host off. This is because each VM is under memory pressure, so it's better for the host to provide some additional help. Additionally, if we the two policies with VM equals P, meaning that the virtual machine cache is private data only, they are much better than the two existing policies with VM equals on. This is because when the VM, when individual virtual machines are under memory pressure, if we let them dedicate their memory space for private data and let the host provide the support for image data, then the hit ratio for both private data and image data will be much higher. And the biggest gain is achieved at 35 VMs where the memory is overcommitted. We also tested with the Hadoop sort benchmark, which is the big data analytics scenario. In this figure, we show the runtime of Hadoop sort, so lower is better. An interesting point is that here, if we compare the two existing policies, one is VM on host on, and one is VM on host off. We see a different story. Now it's better that we turn the host cache off. This is because Hadoop is each Hadoop guest is generating a lot of private data and the locality is low. So if the host tries to cache all the private data, there will be severe cache pollution. And again, our partitioned caching policy is the best. We have also proposed a number of future directions. Firstly, we want to conduct more fine-grained I/O profiling for representative cloud applications. And then we also plan to design adaptive caching policies based on memory availability. Basically, if the host has more memory, it can choose to cache part of the private data. So in summary, we address the problem of performance of efficient virtual machine I/O caching. We use the functional partitioning principle. The host caches image data and the VM caches private data. So we obtain big performance gains from simple changes. Any questions?
We have time for quick questions. We're going to have a panel discussion later on. So if you have quick clarifying questions while we change to the next speaker, go ahead and make those questions now.
Hi, Fred Douglas, EMC. I'm curious whether you considered other types of compression techniques along the lines of the difference engine work at OSDI a few years ago. They did subpage differencing and compressed pages that weren't used to gain additional benefits. Have you compared with that?
So you're talking about compression at the memory level or on the file
level? Yeah, at the memory level. That they did. What you're doing is you're identifying pages that are the same and having a unique copy of them. And they did subpage differencing, so they could do a delta of the small differences between them, and also compressed pages that were inactive rather than completely evicting them.
Right. Actually, in the charts, I listed several studies. Some of them are...
Yeah, that wasn't cited.
That was not among them.
Right.
But based on our understanding, the fundamental technique behind current page sharing is still to scan the content of each page and create hash values. And we think our technology is different because we don't go through that step. And basically, we do not check the content of each page, but we just partition the functionalities of each cache.